Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials Podcast, we have a special April Fool's episode. We'll be looking at some April Fool's pranks, maybe a couple jokes, and we'll be letting you know our thoughts on them. So join us in case you're looking for a couple of pranks or things that you might be able to do. But we're not liable for it. That's on your conscience. So, Leanne, when you were growing up, did you ever do like an April Fool's prank?
I think I always was interested in it. I don't know if we ever actually did one. Not that I can really remember. If we did, it might have been one of those like super old school obvious ones that like everyone would be like, oh, I'm expecting that. But also, I was an only child, and I feel like April Fool's pranks lend themselves to a situation with siblings.
I feel like that's very true. I don't specifically recall doing any April Fool's jokes growing up, but I do recall doing stuff where it's like you say you did something, and then you'd be like, oh, April Fool's, I actually didn't. Like, I feel like that was the level of April Fool's jokes that we did.
How do you feel about April Fool's pranks, though? Because I feel like me now could probably, depending on the prank, find it a little funny. I think me as a kid probably would not be able to handle it very well.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like as a kid, especially depending on what it is, I wouldn't be able to handle it. I feel like if I saw somebody doing a prank to someone else, I'd probably be like, oh, that's hilarious. But if it was to me, I'd probably be pretty upset.
For example, on this list that you found from, I don't know, was it Registered Dietitian or something? That doesn't make sense. Is that a website? Oh, Reader's Digest.
Registered Dietitian. I love it. Yes, the dietitians and their pranks.
I wasn't at the top of the page. And so the top like little logo all only said RD. And I was like, what does that stand for?
Registered Dietitian.
So on this list, there's ones where like you're giving your kid a lollipop, but it's a Brussels sprout. I think 7-year-old me would not handle that very well, and I feel like they can sometimes come across as mean.
Yeah, I think that's the issue that I have with some April Fool's jokes, is a lot of the times it can come across as being mean or being rude. But I will say, if it's a joke that doesn't harm anybody or hurt anybody's feelings, maybe you could do one. Like, I don't personally think I would, but I don't have anything strongly against April Fool's jokes, just as long as everybody is kind of on the same page with it.
I think it's what you said, is just know your audience.
Mm-hmm. So is there an April Fool's joke that you would like to start off with? Or actually, no, let's circle back to what we were talking about before we started the pod, which was proposing to someone on April Fool's Day.
I have two takes on this. One, you should be able to propose to somebody on whatever day. Like, it's weird that April Fool's has become like such a big thing. Like, for example, what if it was the person's birthday or like some other really significant day for them and it just happened to be April Fool's and you're like, I want to propose to this person on this day because it's a really important day for them. And then if you do propose, especially if you propose in public, I think everyone's going to think you're making a joke out of it.
Yeah, I feel like that would be definitely tough. I think what I was thinking about when I read this bit about proposing on April Fool's Day, I was just thinking like 10 years into the future. Could you imagine if you're having an argument and your significant other is like, well, I proposed to you on April Fool's Day because I think you're a joke. Like, that's just immediately what my mind went to. And I was like, oh, I could see it being an authentic thing in the moment. But like, what if in the future it turns into this whole thing?
I was just thinking that best practices is probably to just avoid doing that on April Fool's.
Honestly, though, I could see somebody proposing on April Fool's and, like, not really realizing it, being like, oh, I didn't even realize it was April Fool's, because I feel like it's not, like, a true holiday like some other holidays are.
We don't get a day off.
We don't get a day off. So is it a holiday? I don't think so.
Like we were saying before, it depends on, like, read your audience, too, right? Like, what if both of you are a bunch of jokesters? It could be kind of fun to do it on that day, then.
That's true. Or let's say you have like a series of jokes leading up to it. Like, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I guess my thing is that if you're going to propose to somebody on April Fool's, you have to do it for real. Like, you can't do a will you marry me and then be like, just kidding.
Yeah, I feel like that's how people get their feelings hurt. I feel like that's, no.
So I don't think I necessarily have a problem of people proposing on April Fool's if they actually mean to go through with it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about people wrapping your stuff in plastic wrap as an April Fool's joke?
I think it's kind of dumb and it's also really wasteful. I think a lot of plastic stuff is made from things that aren't good for the environment. So why are we wasting more things to do something that's honestly not very funny and more just an inconvenience?
Yeah, I agree. This kind of also reminds me of when, do you remember when people would go and they'd wrap everything in the room in wrapping paper?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has like the same sort of feel to me. Although I feel like plastic wrap would be much worse than wrapping paper. Because wrapping paper, I feel like, is easier to get off. Whereas like plastic wrap is like, that's going to be a pain.
Also, I don't know if you're referring to the photo on the website where they're wrapping an entire car. Like, it's really wasteful. And like, personally, if you're going to do an April Fool's joke, I want it to be funny.
Honestly, if that was my car, I would be worried about like the paint coming off or something. Like, does something happen? I don't know. I mean, it probably wouldn't come off. I think cars are probably built a little stronger than that, but you never know.
I would hope it would take more than plastic wrap to get the paint off. I'd be kind of concerned what people who saw me doing that would think. Like, are they going to call the cops? Because it's kind of a weird thing to do.
Oh, Leanne, did you see that there's a cat one? So with this cat one, it's like you tape a square on the ground and then you put your cat in the middle and then they think that they can't get out.
One, I don't think that actually works. I think at least with Ella, she'd be like, just walk right out. Two is someone that I watch a lot of stuff about cats from is you shouldn't do pranks on your cat or really any animal for the sake of getting likes. It reminds me of the time where a lot of people were putting cucumbers behind their cats because they thought it was funny when the cat would jump. And the cat's really jumping because it thinks there's a threat.
Yeah, I totally see your point on that. One thing that I'd like your opinion on then is, you know, when people have the things and they have their cat jump over it, like where they'll have a level one and it's like one layer of cups, a level two and it's like two layers of cups. Do you think that's acceptable?
Yeah, because you're not tricking the cat into thinking it's being threatened or trapped. Like, I think a cat who saw like 10 layers of cups, if it didn't want to jump, if anybody knows cats, it's just going to run right through the middle and the whole thing's going to fall down.
So I feel like maybe your April Fool's prank for your cat maybe could change. And I say yours loosely because it's clearly not yours. It's like from this list. But I feel like maybe this April Fool's prank for your cat should maybe change instead to a challenge for your cat on April Fool's Day to see like how they react. Do they like it? Do they not like it?
I feel like these go more along the lines of training your cat to do tricks.
Yes.
Because like jumping over the stack of cups to me seems more like a trick than a prank. Like, for example, I'm teaching Ella, I hold my arms in a circle and I'm teaching her to jump through it. And like, yes, she is being motivated by treats, but also like when she decides she's done with training, she'll just sit there or she'll just wander off.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were looking through this list, the first thing that I saw, or like the first thing that I stopped on, was the one called a soupy shower. And I have lots of thoughts on these. Actually, it's not a lot of thought. It's just more like one singular, very strongly opinionated thought, is that this is kind of disgusting. Also, like, it could be kind of hilarious, but the issue is one. Well, I guess I should describe the prank first. So the prank is that you put a bouillon cube in the shower head so that when the person turns on the shower and the hot water comes out, it basically comes out as soup. So I will admit that I think this is hilarious. Probably not hilarious if I was the one getting in the shower, but definitely hilarious to do. The second problem is, how long does that bouillon last? And say, if it was like a weekend, I don't think it would matter because you could let it run out and then the person could take a real shower. But like, what if it's a Monday and they're trying to take a shower before work and they're just stuck in like chicken soup bouillon shower?
You know, April Fool's is on a Monday this year.
Exactly. What would you do if you woke up, went to take your shower, and it's like just chicken soup coming out?
I would go to the second bathroom because we have a second bathroom, which makes me feel very bougie.
It sounds bougie. So what would you do if you only had one shower, though? You would have to, like, wait, but you would also be covered in chicken soup.
My curiosity is, like, I wonder if it would be strong enough that you would notice. You know what I mean? Like, would the smell be so strong that you'd be like, it smells like chicken soup? Or also, would you just think that you're, like, crazy not hallucinating, but like, you know what I mean? Like smelling things that aren't there.
Yeah. My question too is, I mean, I guess I've never really unscrewed a shower head. Is just mechanically, how does that work? And what if it clogs it and you're just like stuck trying to dig chicken soup bouillon out of your shower head, like the little, you know, the little holes?
I don't know. I feel like that'd be kind of not fun. I feel like that'd be not great. Let's see. What are some other ones? Oh, so there's this one called Soap Star where they took their soap, like their bar of soap, and they covered it completely in clear nail polish. I feel like you would know when you touch the soap. I feel like I would touch it and I'd be like, something is not right here.
I think it might be because I think a lot of us just wash our hands on autopilot, so you're not really paying attention. Mm. So I think if you're expecting it, yeah, you probably would notice. But I'm wondering if you're not expecting it, if it's like 6 a.m, are you going to pay attention until you try to lather it? My thing is, I don't know, I guess you could buy like cheap nail polish, but like, I don't want to spend my nail polish painting a bar of soap.
That is true. Unless like, if it's really old, then I guess I could. I think my thing from this would be like, then your hands are not clean. So what if you just went to the bathroom and you go to wash your hands and then your hands are not clean and then you go eat? Like, that's gross. I don't like that.
I think you would know before you left the bathroom because you'd be trying to lather your hands and nothing happened.
I would think so, but I don't know. What if somebody just genuinely doesn't realize? Oh, speaking of nail polish pranks, this wasn't an April Fool's prank, but it was definitely a prank I did when we were a kid. Or my cousin and I, we went and we had a family vacation together where it was like my mom's side of the family, we were all together. And then we had this shop in the town where we were staying at that sold color-changing products. And it sold color-changing nail polish. So I got this nail polish that looked kind of clear and would turn hot pink in the sun. And so then I painted my older brother's nails with it when he was sleeping. And then, because it was by a beach. And so then we went to the beach the next day and everybody's laughing and he was getting all upset. I felt kind of bad after he got really upset. But, because his nails were turning hot pink. We were like, I don't know, middle school maybe at the time. And then afterwards, he didn't remove it because he thought it just went away.
I mean, it does just go away, right? Nail polish?
Yes, it flakes off. But it was like, he didn't, after he was out in the sun, it turned hot pink. When he went back inside and it just disappeared, he didn't go and like ask for nail polish remover because he didn't realize that it wouldn't like just automatically come off of his nails.
Oh, okay. My question is, how do you paint nails of someone who's asleep without waking them up?
Very carefully. I was very sneaky. My cousin and I, we were very sneaky. We like went down there and we were like, we had to like check and make sure that their hands were like not underneath the covers because I think they were sleeping on like a couch or something. I don't know. And so we were like just double checking and then we would like sneakily paint a couple nails. I think we tried to get my other cousin's nails, but I think he was too light a sleeper, so we couldn't. But that was like what happened if you fell asleep on the family vacation, like your nails would get painted.
That's funny. Okay, so the thing that I read right before you told the nail polish story was called Something Fishy from the article. And basically you're replacing someone's toothpaste with anchovy paste and putting the toothpaste label on it so that when they brush their teeth, they just get a bunch of anchovies. That sounds disgusting. Also, kind of similar to your point about painting this bar of soap with clear nail polish is, wouldn't you notice when you squeezed it out of the tube and onto your toothbrush that it was brown and not white?
Honestly, that is foul. I don't know who thought of that, but that is disgusting. Who would do that? Who thought of this joke? I have beef with you personally.
Also, I guess it's another thing of know your audience. Make sure this person doesn't have a fish allergy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, my goodness. Or there's another one that's Cookie Monster, where you unscrew the Oreo cookies and you replace them with toothpaste, which I feel like I've heard of this one before. I don't think I've ever seen it done, but I've heard of it before. And I feel like that'd just be so gross. Like, you take a bite of your Oreo cookie and you're like, it's kind of minty. And like, what if you swallow it? Then you've just swallowed a whole bunch of toothpaste, which is like, I don't think that's that good for you.
I feel like some of these are just disgusting. Another one that they said is you replace the top of your whoever you're pranking's deodorant with cream cheese? Which, it only works if they have white deodorant. Because I think Kyle's deodorant's, like, blue. Like, if he opened it and it was white, he would clearly know something's wrong.
You have to, like, put a couple drops of food coloring in, color match the cream cheese. I feel like the issue with having, like, blue deodorant, though, is a lot of the times that's, like, translucent. And so it's, like, you can see through it. And so that's where the issue comes in, because you can't make cream cheese translucent.
There's another one where you make a faux sundae out of mashed potatoes and gravy as caramel sauce, which reminds me of the dino volcano thing, and you're really grossed out because of the gravy. But me, I love mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes with gravy. So honestly, if somebody told me there was going to be a sundae and it was mashed potatoes with gravy instead, I would probably be thrilled.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I think it's just I'm not a gravy person, and so therefore I would be like, ugh.
I do have an amendment, actually, is that you would probably have to serve it cold, because otherwise you could just smell the gravy and it would be warm and the person would know it's not ice cream. And cold mashed potatoes and gravy is nasty.
I agree. I feel like cold mashed potatoes and gravy would be, like, kind of gross. Not my jam. Oh, so there's one on here about candy ants, where it's like adding fake ants to your child's lunch. Let me tell you, though, my dad loves a good prank, right? So at one of our local grocery stores, they sell these chocolates that look like rocks. So what he'll sometimes do is, like, if there's a gathering or, like, when we were kids growing up, he would put them in our lunches. So it would look like you were eating rocks when you were eating this chocolate. It was the, like, most ridiculous thing. And then in the same vein, I don't know if I ever told you this, but I think when I was in Spain, I think that's where I was, I picked up this rubber egg because I went into, like, some convenience store or something, and I saw this and I was like, this is so weird, I must buy it. And so I bought this rubber egg, and then when I came back from Spain, I went to my parents, to their fridge, and I put it in with the rest of the eggs so that they would have, like, this rubber egg in there. And so my mom, I think she picked it up and she was trying to crack it and she was like, this egg is not normal. So then she tried to put it down the garbage disposal.
So did it get shredded?
It got a little marked up. I think we had to eventually throw it away because we were like, the prank is ruined because now you can clearly see that this is not an egg. Or maybe my mom at first found out that it was a rubber egg. I can't remember, but somebody, it might have been my dad or my mom, I don't know who, tried to put it down the garbage disposal because they thought it was, like, a rotten egg or that, like, it was a defective egg.
That's great.
It was a very good prank. 10 out of 10 would recommend. If you're looking for a harmless one to do for April Fools, that would be my recommendation. Get a rubber egg, put it in your egg carton. It's very amusing.
There's one further down on the list, which I feel like could be funny, but my anxiety does not let me endorse it, which is called the whistling car, and you tape a harmonica or somehow attach a harmonica to the bumper of someone's car so that when they drive, it whistles and they think something's wrong. I feel like, one, I don't know enough about cars to be able to attach this without it actually, like, not messing up the car. And two, I feel like I have enough car anxiety. I don't need a fake car harmonica whistle going on.
I agree. I feel like that would not be a good prank for me. Please don't do that. I will say, though, that reminds me of, like, when we were kids, on our block, one of my neighbors taped, like, shoved a crushed plastic water bottle underneath, like, you know, the part that goes over your wheel on your bike? Shoved, like, a crushed water bottle in there. And then whenever he would ride his bike around, it sounded like the vrooming of a car because it would, like, constantly hit the water bottle. And so that kind of reminds me of that. So maybe if you're looking for a less stressful one, maybe that's one to do. I feel like that would be one that would be kind of harmless if you wanted to, I don't know, maybe do it to your kid who's very into cars. I feel like they'd be like, oh, this is so cool.
Are there any that you want to highlight? I have one that I think you'll find disgusting.
No, go ahead and highlight yours because I'm, like, still kind of perusing through. I haven't gone through all of them.
There's one called Who Got Sick where you get fake vomit and put it somewhere where the person you're pranking goes often. And then it says watch them become confused and grossed out and then laugh when they realize it's fake. I don't think I would laugh when I realized it was fake.
I think I would be kind of triggered because I'd be like, are you expecting me to clean this up? Because no.
Yeah. Also, fake vomit is a product.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Do you know what they use for vomit in movies?
What?
They use soup.
Oh, I could see it.
I could too, but I was like, that's kind of gross because like, your soup is probably not going to be warm. You're just going to have like this tepid soup in your mouth and then you're just like, bleh.
Well, it might make the gagging real.
That's true. That's true.
I saw a funny meme about when like your cat throws up. Could probably apply to dogs too, but it's like something about like when you're walking around looking for the like you hear your cat throw up, so you're looking for the vomit and then you're hoping your eyes find it before your feet do.
Oh, gross.
But it's so true. It's like when an animal makes a sound, it's like you're like, okay, where is this? And I don't want to step in it.
Yeah. Ugh.
So yeah, that's why I think fake vomit pranks are not funny.
No, I agree. Fake vomit pranks, not it. I have seen, though, like, I think it might have been in a movie where somebody faked being sick and they, like, crushed up a whole bunch of, like, saltines in their toilet to fake being sick. And I was like, bet you could probably, like, get out of going to school that way.
Yeah. I feel like I'm hijacking most of these, but I feel like the ones on the end are kind of funny. There's a whoopee cushion roulette. I feel like this is a harmless prank where the person buys a bunch of whoopee cushions and puts them in random seats around the house. And then when the people sit down, it goes off, but it's like all over the house.
Oh my goodness. I feel like I would be so bad at that prank because I would be like following people around, like waiting for them to sit down. I'd be like, and I must know, did this work?
Yeah, too obvious.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
I remember, I think it was my third grade birthday, someone gave me a whoopee cushion as like part of my present. And I swear we spent like an hour just like taking turns, just like sitting on the whoopee cushion. Thought it was great. So I feel like this could be a good prank for like a younger child.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Another one that I looked at was this one called Class Chaos, which is on April Fool's Day, two classes decided to switch places. I can tell you that as a teacher, my anxiety would be so high. Please do not do this to your teachers. Please do not. And I actually have a teacher story that's somewhat similar to this. So one time when I was teaching middle school and I was learning people's names, I had these two students who only responded to each other's names. Like they had swapped names like within the first day or two of school and I was still learning names. So I always called them the wrong name because they had swapped names. And then like midway through the year, they were like, oh yeah, I'm actually so-and-so. And I was like, and you led me to believe you really did that. And they were like, yep. And I was like, that's actually hilarious. And so then sometimes I would just call them by the names that they had swapped for like the rest of the year because they didn't care. They were like, no, I think it's hilarious. So they were on the same page with it. And I was like, all right, I think it's kind of funny. I kind of like that you guys did that because that's pretty clever. So that made me giggle.
Does that mean you're putting grades under the wrong kid?
No, I think they told me before I entered grades. Plus, I think they signed their own actual names on their papers and whatnot.
Oh, okay. I just imagine you giving one, like swapping their grades because that's what their names were.
No. It's like they had their actual names on their projects.
Okay, so they were like a little bit of common sense.
A little bit of common sense. They had like their actual names on their papers and it was fine.
My thing about the class chaos thing is, as a student, you'd probably find it hilarious. I just don't know. Maybe it's like, because depends on the class size, but I cannot imagine getting like 40 plus kids to actually commit. Like, I feel like I would be the kid who's so worried about getting in trouble that I would just go to the correct classroom. And I feel like if any kid did that, it would kind of ruin the prank.
Yeah, I think the thing that would be hard with this prank is like the teacher will have no idea whose class you are from. And that I think is the thing that is so terrifying about it is because I'm like, I will have all these students in my class and I will have no idea where they're from. And like, let's say you work in a building with like 40 staff. It's like, so I have to ask like 40 people, do I call the main office and say I have a class that's not mine? Like, what do I do? I would probably call the main office and just like, see, I'd be like, whose class are these kids in? Especially if I knew one of them, I'd probably be like, I have so-and-so in my class. What class is he supposed to be in? Or what class is she supposed to be in?
And I feel like the other teachers probably also call the office, be like, I have 20, 30 children that are not mine. Where do I return them to?
Yeah, I do think it'd be kind of funny, but I do think it would also make me very nervous if I couldn't get them back to where they were supposed to go. Especially for attendance purposes, because I think for attendance purposes, like, there's liability that comes with that.
Yeah. Well, especially these days, I think there's, like, I guess attendance was always important. My question, though, is, like, how would an administration handle it? Like, would it be like, oh, their children being children, it's relatively harmless, but also not, like, if you think a kid's missing? Or, like, would they give detentions? Would they let it go? Like, how do you handle that?
I don't know. I feel like maybe if it happens one time, you just brush it off as like a relatively harmless and you give them like a don't do that again. Especially because if it was like on April Fool's, I feel like they'd probably be like, all right, I get it. It was a joke. As long as we got it sorted, like, it's okay. But I feel like if it started to become a recurring thing, like if it happened again, then I think it would have to be treated more seriously.
Yeah, because I think children, once they know something was funny, they tend to do it again.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I don't know. Or maybe like all of their parents would get like a letter or a note home. I could see that also happening where it's like, hey, your child switched classes. So like we couldn't guarantee like where they were, if they were safe. Please do not have them do this again. Like that sort of thing. So I think that might be the way that they'd go about it. I don't think they'd give detentions for it because that just seems a little extreme. I could be wrong, but I feel like they would probably do a warning first.
I think, like you're saying, not that I know anything about the education system, is especially if it's on April Fool's. And I think also, say if they're like middle school or younger, I mean, I don't think 5-year-olds would be able to coordinate this, but like, I think that's different than like high schoolers doing it.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, it also depends on the size of your school and how many classes are taking part. Like if you've got like 50% of the student body taking part. And I think also most teachers are like in their classrooms before the class starts. So I feel like they would be questioning like, why are my students not here? Why are there these other kids here? Unless they all just come in like last minute.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of school pranks, another one that I've heard of before that I can't remember if somebody did this in our school at some point in time. They might have, they might not have, but it's where you release like 3 piglets into the school and you label them 1, 2, and 4.
Wait, piglets?
Piglets, yeah.
Is this like a Kentucky thing? Because I don't know where you get piglets around here.
I think it's like a rural thing, but you know, my high school was not rural. It was suburban. So I don't know. I don't know if this actually happened or if it's just something that I heard. I cannot remember, but...
Wait, your high school did it? Like the one you went to or one you taught at?
One I went to. I think I might have heard that somebody did this like years back.
1, 2, and 4. So is it to like make it look like one's missing?
Correct. So then you have them looking around like, oh my gosh, where is this 3rd piglet?
I feel like it's kind of funny like looking for one that's missing and it's not. But I'm just, don't involve animals. A piglet is not supposed to be in a school.
I feel like it would not be having a good time.
It would not. I feel like I like the concept, but apply it to like a not animal.
I did see, though, a video the other day of a piglet who got the zoomies, and it was the cutest thing. So cute. You should look it up after this because I was dying. I was like, why is this so cute? I'll see. Actually, I should see if I have the video and if I can send it to you, but it was on TikTok, so I don't know if you'll be able to view it.
I'll just have to wait till it shows up on Instagram in like a month.
Or like look up the person and see if they posted it on Instagram too.
This requires too much effort. Have you ever done like a sock prank? Like this is saying like you sew someone's sock like halfway so they can only get half their foot in it?
No. I've never done that, but that sounds like kind of ingenious. Kind of evil though.
Also, I think it can go in the category of like harmless pranks.
Yes. As long as they have enough socks.
And also, like, the next day or whatever, you can always cut the stitches out. Like, I'm assuming whoever's doing this is not a good enough seamstress or seamster? I don't know what the other version is. But, like, I feel like it's undoable.
Yeah, I feel like it is, especially if it's done by hand. If it's done by a machine, it'd probably be, like, really annoying if you try to undo it.
I think most people don't have sewing machines, though, so I think someone who's Googling pranks on the internet is probably just going to do it by hand.
That's true.
But yeah, that's what I got from, I mean, I I got nothing. I got these all from the list. That will attach if any of you need inspiration, but it might be kind of last minute seeing as this goes up on April Fool's. So I don't know. Maybe for next year.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our next book club is going to be On Earth, We Were Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong, and that will be dropping on May 6th.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this discussion on April Fool's pranks. We'd love to hear your opinions on the ones that we shared, or you could also share your best prank or a prank that has been done to you. You can send it to our email at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram @zillennialspodcast. Don't forget to rate and review the show wherever you're listening.